Well, let me pray for us, and then we'll open up God's word together. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to share and to hear what's going on in the lives of our family here at Hope. And Lord, we take it as a real blessing to see your hand at work. Lord, we know you're at work in all of our lives, but sometimes I think we just sit and we don't share and we put on a face and we know, but we don't know. And so, Father, help us to be a little bit more transparent with each other and to really share how you are working in our lives so we can give you the glory, so that we can honor you by sharing how you're working in our lives. And Lord, bless this reading of your word, bless this time together where we study your scriptures, Father. And we thank you for it, and we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. So Philippians 4, find a Bible, find your phone, turn to Philippians 4, okay? Usually I have notes made, okay? On my note sheet here, I have announcement number one, announcement number two, youth group, and then it says Philippians 4, right? That is the extent of my notes today, right? And I'll be able to share with you why. It's been a really struggle. It's been a struggle for me this week just to stop a little bit. But let's read Philippians 4 together, and we'll talk a little bit about it. I'm going to start in verse 4. Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me. Everything you heard from me and saw me doing, then the God of peace will be with you. How I praise the Lord that you are concerned about me again. I know you have always been concerned for me, but you didn't have the chance to help me. Not that I was ever in need, for I've learned to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Even so, you have done well to share with me in my present difficulty. So we're moving through the story. We're going to wrap it up by Labor Day. And I kind of like this passage as kind of an example of Paul and his letters and how it speaks to us today. And it's kind of nice because I feel like it's a little indulgent for me because it's what I needed to hear. Last few weeks, last few months have been a challenge. Did you ever build a house of cards? I would do that before there was phone and internet, right? 9 years old. My dad's trying to teach me how to play like two deck bid pinochle, right? I'm like nine. I'm like, I got no clue. I have no interest. And then I learned it. And then Laura and I played with her folks like every time we got together until the point where it was like, I knew what her father was going to do. So I would just sit back and let him bid. And then Laura would get really mad at what her father did. And then it would devolve into an argument. And I said, why don't we just play something like simple, right? But growing up, I would build these house of cards. It was fun. We had carpet. And so you could build them on carpet, right? And you would build a little four square, and then you could start building them higher and higher and stuff like that. And then you just had to be careful. You had to be very deliberate. You had to order everything. And one little motion, one breeze would take the whole thing down. That's how I feel sometimes. I feel like I build a structure. I should have written it down. Build a structure. And it's up to me to keep all the cards in place. And then one little thing comes and it all crumbles. It's hard living without that piece. That's why I appreciate Paul's writing. You know, he writes, always be full of joy in the Lord. I see it again, rejoice. And I'm like, yeah, right. How do you expect me to do that? I can barely keep it together. I am trying hard to control my circumstances, to put together a structure. And the wind blows and knocks down a wall, and I have to rebuild it. The earth shakes, and it all comes crumbling down. And I want to be in control. And that is hard for me. It's hard to rejoice. And then you read, he says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. So I do, right? I do, and it doesn't seem to help. It doesn't seem to change. And then I realize, all right, maybe I'm not doing it right. Maybe I'm not doing it right. Our small group, based a lot on life and the book that you recommended, right, through Aaron White and through Hannah over there, and you know, we're reading the book With by Sky Jathani. It's a great book. And the first chapter, I was just sitting outside reading it, and I'm like, yeah, that's me, that's me, that's me, and that's me, right? I'm like, what is your posture before God? What is your posture before God? Are you expecting life from God? God is the eternal Santa, and I just have to follow a set of rules, and the blessings are going to show, right? That was, I don't think, ever with me. I don't think I've ever just expected God to do things for me, give me what I need. But certainly, that posture of life over God, it's my job to control all situations, yeah, that's me. God, you got this over there. You're big up there, but yeah, I'll take care of this right here. I will control this right here. And it falls apart. There's life from God. Sorry, I got that one. Life for God. Right? How do I serve you the best? Should I be the doctor or should I be the missionary? Because one is probably better. You have one that is for me. No, not really. The doctor or the missionary can serve the Lord just in a different and unique way. And then life under God. Holy cow, that one's me as well. I guess I'm more over and under, right? I can't tell which one I am. But life under God. If I just do everything that you're asking me to do, then everything is going to be perfect. And boy, that's a lie. That's a lie. And then as the title of the book would suggest, there's one fifth posture that he proposes. It's called life with God. It's not what I can do for him. It's not what he can do for me. It's just being together. In the good or the bad. It's just being together. I've only read chapter one, so we'll get more of this as we go through. Okay. But if you think about it, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. that's you and God sitting down outside on the deck, just being together, just being there. That's amazing. I had coffee with a friend yesterday, and we met at a little coffee shop, mostly because I was missing Paris. I just got back from Paris, and that's what you do in Paris. You just sit and have a coffee, right? All their servers are salaried, so they don't try and move the table. You buy the tiniest cup of espresso, and they'll leave you alone. It's awesome. And you just sit, and you sip, and you look, and you're sitting with somebody, and sometimes you have a conversation, and then sometimes you're just sitting next to somebody. You're just watching the world go by, but you're still together. It's an amazing thing. The rush is gone. The I gotta go do this, 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 and this is over. And you just are sitting in the presence of a friend. And I think about that idea of with. That's what I think. That's what I think I need to do more of. It's just sit in the presence of my Savior. Be together. Not go to him when I need something. Boy, as a father, that stinks. Right? The only time you see a child is when they have a problem and they need something. And yet that's what we do to God, isn't it? I got this. I'll do everything over here. I'm fine, I'm fine, I'm fine. Uh-oh, my world's falling apart. I better go back to God. Let God solve it. Thanks, God. I got this. Da 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 da, and the cycle repeats. I think Paul is really telling us, tell God what you need. Thank him for what he's done. Then you'll experience peace. We keep scrolling. I'm scrolling. I scroll in my Bible now. We keep reading down. Verse 9, keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. This is why I appreciate Paul so much. He shared and he demonstrated. He shared and demonstrated. I've got all this wisdom, and I want to tell you about all this wisdom, but also look at me. Look at the life that I'm living. I'm telling you about a certain life, and I'm living this life. It's not just about hearing. Let's observe. And these letters from Paul really help us see that, how he lived. He goes on and gives examples like, I can live in any circumstance, whether I have nothing or I have everything. Why? Because he has lived with nothing and he has lived with everything. And he says he's found the secret of doing that. Christ who gives him strength. It's not circumstances that give him strength. It's not money that gives him the ability to do things. It's Christ who gives him the strength to persevere. Jordan, I think you posted a little thing on Facebook yesterday or 2 days ago or something like that that was like, oh, the Lord's going to give you just what you can bear, right? No, no, no. And then Paul's like, I've been crushed and burdened to the point of death, right? But yet, he perseveres because he has found the secret. And he's telling it, and he's demonstrating it. So when I read this about Paul, right, it said, keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. When I was in Paris, that's what I was doing with a bunch of other faculty who were going to learn how to lead students abroad. I think I said these words in some context. Arrival day was a stressful nightmare, We had 60 people coming in on 37 flights. And my job was to be at the hotel. And when people came in, as soon as we hit a critical number, it was my job to take them on the train down to the Louvre. No, we didn't go to the Louvre. We went to Galeries Lafayette. So, lovely department store. Blows Macy's out of the water. Sorry, Macy's. Okay. So we get a bunch of people, take them down, wander around. The rest of the group, then we met at the Louvre. They went in the Louvre. After the Louvre, I pulled my group aside, and I stood outside on a little step, and they were all down there and listening. And I said, all right, your job today is to pay attention to what I do. Right? Because I'm going to treat you like I would treat my students. Pay attention to what I do, because you will have to do something similar. Then you can adapt. I said, but also, pay attention to what I say, because part of your job is to help the students engage more. Exactly what Paul is telling us here. Pay attention to what I say. Pay attention to what I do. And then this sentence just broke me down. Then the God of peace will be with you. With you. Not, then the God of peace will open up the heavens and rain money on you. Then you will receive every blessing that your heart could ever desire. That's not what he says. The God of peace will be with you. That to me is amazing. Why do we want to get into the Bible? Why do we want to study? Why do we want to make this transformative in our lives? Why is it not just academic? Anybody do academic study? I mean, you may not want to admit that you do, but do you do an academic Bible study where you're walking through and you're looking for, you know, structure and word choice and you're reading it in the context of history? That's good to do. But if that's all you do, then you're missing out. Study should transform you. When you read God's word and you see the examples of how to live, then do it. And then finally, verse 8. So you notice I'm jumping around, right? It's okay that I can jump around. I told you I didn't write any notes down. There's no flow. Whatever. Okay? And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. What's missing from that list? Think about how you can control all of the problems. Think about the things that are pushing you down. Think about ways to solve problems in your life. Those aren't in the list. And yet, that's where I live. And I'd venture to guess that some of us live there too. If there's a problem, it's my job to fix it. And I'm going to spend my time thinking about it until I come up with the solution. That's not what Paul is telling me to do. That's not what Paul is saying. And I guarantee you, that's not what Paul is doing. Be nice to sit down at a Parisian cafe with Paul. And just sit quietly for a minute and then turn to him and say, what are you thinking about? I bet his answer would be Philippians 4, verse 8. I bet he's thinking about what is true. Honorable, right, pure, lovely, admirable. I bet he's thinking about Christ. I bet he's thinking about Christ. I know it's kind of the simple answer, right? But sometimes the simple answer is the right answer. I bet he's thinking about Christ. I bet he's thinking about standing one day in his presence and really being with him, right? Do you ever think about heaven, what you're going to do? We get so busy down in here in our lives, and we're doing this and that and the other thing. You think you're going to go up there in heaven and be with him and do the same things? Uh-uh. You're going to be with him. Heaven's going to be the Parisian cafe with a little cappuccino. Sitting down. Looking at his creation. And then turning to him and saying, wow, how awesome. That's where we should be right now. That should be our mindset now. And yet we let the weight of the world drag us down. Let the weight of the world. I told Laura yesterday, I was like, it's not like I'm worried. It's just I have this sense of impending dread. It's just this in the background, this tiny little seed that says, it's all going to fall apart. Then what are you going to do? That's seriously where I've lived for the last 3 months. And it destroys you. It destroys you. You don't want to open the mailbox for fear of what you'll find. You don't want to see the email pop up or have the phone ring because you think it's going to be this or this or this. And yet Paul says, I've learned to live in every situation, whether I have everything or nothing. Because I don't get my power, I don't get my strength from the everything or the nothing. Inconsequential. I get my strength from Christ. I just have to be with him. I have to recognize the authority. I have to recognize the true, the honorable, the admirable. Focus my attention on that. And then his peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. So did I just have to preach to myself today, or did this resonate with anybody else? Because I think in our society today, we tend to focus on the problem and how we fix it. We build our house of cards. And we do everything in our power to make sure nothing knocks it down. When at the end of the day, that illusion of control is really just an illusion. We can't predict the next day. We can't predict the next 10 minutes. We have no control. But we know one who does. And we know, and we know, and we know, and we know that our future is secure. It doesn't matter the phone call, the email, the letter that you get. It doesn't matter. Because this experience is not the end. This experience that we have is it's a shadow. It's a shadow of what's to come. And we see I look at like your blue shirt, right? And it's a popping blue shirt, right? In heaven, take that popping blue and multiply it by a million. Things are going to be brighter. Things are going to be more vivid, vibrant. Because we're not under this veil of death anymore. That's what we need to think about. The weight of the world really should have no control over me. Because we can do everything through Christ who gives us strength. Be with him today, now. Be with him tomorrow when you head off to work. Be with him. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we give you thanks and praise for your word. Father, we pray for it to transform us. That we would let go of the control that we think we have and recognize that control is just an illusion. That we spend time with you, listening for your voice. Lord, knowing you have a job and a command and we need to be obedient to you, we need to follow your will. And you give us strength to do that, for sure. And help us fix our thoughts on you. And we thank you for your word. And we thank you for the example of Paul. Father, help us put into practice all of these things that we read about Paul and everything that he does. Help us put those into practice. Lord, we welcome you into our hearts. Be with us. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. All right, no notes, right? Which means I didn't write a question, but I have a question, okay? Because we do discussion groups afterwards where we kind of sit and talk. Okay, and it's good to talk. So here's your question. Philippians 4, verse 8. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Your discussion is to discuss that. How do you do that? Okay. All right, we've got 25 minutes. Look at that. We're going to have some discussion leaders. I see Greg back there. Greg, you going to be around? Can you lead a discussion table? Fantastic. I need a couple more people who want to do that. All right, Kurt, excellent. He'll have a table. Who else? One other. Come on, you can raise your hand. Everybody can lead a discussion. If not, I'll call on you. All right, cool. Caleb, thank you. All right. So we'll have one, two, three. Feel free to join a group. You don't have to say anything, but at least sit and listen, okay? It'd be great if you said something too, right? Because we all have a way that God can speak to us, and he gives us the opportunity to share with each other, okay? Have a great discussion, have a great Sunday, and have a great week. It's the song of the redeemed.